Well, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Barbecue can heal all wounds. You know something? When I was in Bible school one time, somebody told me that a man cannot live on barbecue alone. And I thought, that's blasphemy. And then I thought about it for a little bit, and I said, well, they eat Mexican food all the time. Why can't you eat barbecue all the time? It's just common sense. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the Holy Communion. Father, we thank you that Jesus' body is the perfect sacrifice. And that he did everything that we need for our healing. We look at his body and we see the stripes in this bread, and we know that it's by his stripes we were healed. And he shed his perfect blood every time his body was pierced. And his body was beaten and bruised for our iniquities and our transgressions. We thank you for this. Our sins are completely forgiven. And we thank you that when he was on that cross, he took every sin, every sickness, everything wrong with us, every part of the curse, he took it upon himself and set us free. Father, we thank you for the broken body of Jesus. We're receiving this for our healing and well-being in Jesus' name. Father, we honor and worship the blood of Jesus. And we thank you for the shed blood that paid for everything we did wrong. The shed blood of Jesus completely washed us clean and made us as white as wool. That shed blood of Jesus gives us the boldness to enter into your throne room, your very presence, and receive mercy and grace in times of need. It's because of the shed blood of Jesus that we are now in right standing with you because of what Jesus did. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. All right, open your Bibles up to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we'll continue on with our study on how you see yourself will determine the result. And paying attention to the destiny that God has given you and not falling for a fake destiny or a fake vision for your life. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which has loved us, and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good work, and word. Okay, now that very first verse we read right there, verse says, even him who is coming after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonder. Even the devil can do signs and wonders. But it's important for us to not be deceived by that. Don't accept a counterfeit revelation for your life. You know, there's a lot of people that like to prophesy. And a lot of times, they'll stand in front of a congregation, and every time they prophesy, it's something really fun sounding and positive sounding and exciting. And that's just not true prophecy. Sometimes when you prophesy, you're releasing a warning to the church. A lot of the prophecies in the Bible are warnings to the church. Warnings to certain people. Don't do this. Don't go here. One time, a prophet came up to Peter and said, don't go down in this place. He bound his hands with the leather belt. Said, you'll be bound if you go down there. That was a warning. That doesn't sound very uplifting, does it? That doesn't sound like you're going to be a millionaire overnight, does it? See, God wants the very best for His people. And sometimes people can be going down the wrong road and they're convinced that they're right. And sometimes they need to have a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge or a full-blown out-and-out prophecy saying, no, stop. Don't go there. But it's important for us to not fall for lying signs and wonders. A lot of people say, well, where do you see these lying signs and wonders? They are all over. If you want to open your eyes and look for them, you can find them. You've heard of magicians, haven't you? They have all kinds of lying signs and wonders. Here's the danger. Before people get born again, they're led by their five natural senses. That's just how they deal with the world. To taste, touch, smell, see, hear, their five natural senses. And that's how God has to deal with them. Once they get born again, they're supposed to start being led by the Spirit of God. See, the Bible tells us that as many as has become the sons of God can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, the world calls this a sixth sense. We call Him Holy Spirit. But a lot of times, people get born again and they don't take time to read the Word of God and get under anointed preaching and learn how to hear the voice of God for themselves. So then they end up hearing a voice and they get led astray. I don't know how many times I've had new Christians come up and tell me some of the most off the wall stuff. And it's like, okay. Try to reel them back in. Say, come on, keep coming back here and keep reading the Bible. I know what you've seen or heard may look really, really glamorous. I promise you it's not for you. It leads to destruction. Amen. It takes a little while. It takes a little practice. It takes some time being in the Word of God to hear His voice for yourself. Now, sometimes people get to thinking that they're going to have these long-winded conversations with God. You know, the first time I ever heard God's voice, I was walking up the ramp, and He said, if you don't read the Bible, you're dead. It wasn't God that was going to take me out. It was life around me that was going to take me out. He was trying to protect me. And then from that point on, for quite a while, it would be just one word. You know, I'd kind of have my nose pointed one direction. He'd say, no. No. Okay. I ain't going over there. Amen. But it takes a little time and a little bit of practice. But here's the thing. A counterfeit prophetic vision appears real, but it is a false and misleading picture of God's purpose for our future. The distortion can be subtle and lead us down the wrong path. Ask Holy Spirit to align your heart and dreams with the dream that God has for your life. People sometimes have a habit. You know, they have a good heart about it, but they have a habit of trying to pray their will off onto your life. You know, they may have a goal or a dream, and then they'll pick somebody to fulfill that goal or dream. You know, I had a lady one time, she'd been praying for me for a long time, and she came up to me in church and she said, I got a vision for your life. I said, really? She said, yeah, you're going to be a youth pastor at a ranch. And I sit there and I in my head, I said, lady, if you knew how much I didn't like snot-nosed kids, you would not say that. And I said, well, perhaps if God had that vision for me, he would have let me in on it. See, people try to appoint different people to certain tasks instead of letting God do that. We'll get into that in a little bit, but look over to John chapter 20, verse 21 said, then said Jesus to them, again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Important. Circle that. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now look over to Acts chapter 1, verse 5. Jesus said, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now you cannot fulfill God's dream for your life in your own strength. Yeah, it's not going to happen. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, thus saith the Lord. I remember when he gave me that verse. He woke me up out of bed, said, go open up to this book, this chapter. I said, well, there's not even a book called that in the Bible. So I opened it up to the front and I found, oh, by golly, there is one of those books in there. Opened it up to that verse. And then I've been learning about that verse ever since. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. You know, one of the things that we have to understand is if it's something that we can do in and of ourselves, how's God going to get the glory out of that? God's not asking you to do simple things. In fact, he's asking you to do impossible things. That Bible verse that says, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible, should become a reality to every one of us. See, if God sends us on a task, and it's some little thing that we can do, we may have an opportunity to say, look what I did. That's not the way this thing works. He wants us to get out there so far that it looks like we're going to sink. We might even drown. But we're not going to drown. Peter just said, Jesus saved me. And he walked on the water back to the boat. He used Jesus' faith to get him back to the boat. He wants us to get out there so far where we don't have the answers. We don't have the tools. We don't have the finances. We don't have anything that it takes to get the job done. So when God gets it done, everybody around you says, I know this turkey. He couldn't have done that. God had to do that. And then we understand that it's by His grace we are saved. Amen. The assignment that God has for your life is always going to be greater than you can accomplish in your own strength. See, this is where the rubber meets the road with your faith walk. Too many times people want to be used by God, and He says, okay, here's your assignment. And I said, well, me and the little woman, we got the notebook out last night. We put pencil to paper and we figured this out. And it's just not attainable. We don't have the finances for that. Well, you're right. You don't. Well, I never studied that part of the Bible. I just don't have that ability to go into that area and do it. And you're right. You don't. The Bible tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. See, there's nothing that God ever asks us to do that we can do by ourselves. We should have to lean on Holy Spirit every step of the day. In Him, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Not in us. It's in Him. Have you ever done something and then wondered why it worked? It's like, a lot of times, I've done a lot of things and then sat there and I look at it. I don't know. Just praise God. I'm going. And then look at some task and think, oh, why me? Why me, Lord? And a lot of jobs that I'm on, I'll go look at something and somebody will ask me what we're going to do about that. And there's nothing right now. I said, why? Because I don't know what I'm going to do about it. And I'll get in the pickup, go somewhere else. I'll ask God, say, I need an idea. What are we going to do? He can figure things out. Did you know He's smarter than you are? Just ask Him. All we got to do is ask Him. Ask and you will receive. Ask Him what to do about problems. He knows a lot more than you do. I don't care how many PhDs you may have. He's a lot smarter than you are. You know, He created everything. Pretty smart. Look at 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 9. A lot of times, We try to figure things out in our own abilities. How are we going to do this with what we got? You're not. Just forget it. If you're going to try to accomplish something with what you got, you already missed the mark. We're not supposed to accomplish anything with what we got. We're supposed to accomplish everything with what He has. And He has everything. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 9. Says, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. You know something about this prophet? He was in trouble, and they were in a terrible drought. People were starving. And God told him, see, the first thing you need to get out of your head. Not every time God tells you something is it going to make sense to you in the natural. God told this prophet, said, I want you to go over to this brook and I'll sustain you there. That was the first place He told him to go. So He said, I'm going to have the blackbirds feed you, the ravens feed you. That makes perfect sense now, doesn't it? You want me to go sit under this leaf and these birds are going to bring me food and I'm going to drink out of this well. Did you know we're in a drought? I'm going to drink out of this spring? Did you know we're in a drought? Don't argue with God. He already knows the answer. He knows the beginning from the end. Just go there. He did that, and then the spring ran dry, and the leaf dried up, and He said, there's a widow woman over here that'll take care of you. Everybody wants to be a kept man. But did you know we're in a drought? And then He went over and He told this widow woman, said, make me a cake. And she said, oh, preacher, I just told you I'm going to make the last cake with the last of the flour, last of the meal, and the last of the oil. Me and my son, we're going to eat it and we're going to die because that's it. Do you see how God makes sense all the time? But the woman went ahead and did it as He said, and guess what happened? The meal didn't run out and the oil didn't run out. She did what God told her to do, and God sustained her and His prophet. See, God, His ways are not the same as our natural ways, but He knows what we need, and He knows how to get us from point A to point B. I see big things happening for this place. Exciting things happening for this place. Things have changed. I don't know if you ever look at the little bulletin board back there on the wall. You know, we pin up certain things, but one thing we make it a point is we support a lot of different missions all over the world and a lot of different things, and we post an account of our giving. So you know that whenever you give tithes and offerings into this church, it doesn't just stop here, it goes out. And for years and years and years and years and years, I looked at that and it was $75 every month for the same missionaries every month. But we changed that. Now, when you go out, I want you to look at that report. It's going to get more exciting. It's going to get more fun, and it's going to get more better. Amen. All right. God has provided His Spirit and all that you need for His big dream. You don't have to sit there and figure it out, because you're not going to get it figured out. And in fact, the more you figure it out up here, the less effective you're going to be out there. Amen? Just roll with it. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, something you need to understand is that obedience may be costly, but the reward is priceless. So dream big and let God be big in you. That leads us to this. Leads us to willingness and availability. Willingness and availability. Look at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. Says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Willing and obedient. You know, everybody knows John chapter 14, verse 12. You know, so whatever you ask in the name of the Lord shall be, he shall do. You know, even greater works than he does shall you do, because he goes unto the Lord. Everybody wants to do the greater works. Right? Everybody wants to do the big cool things. But here's the thing. The willingness, everybody's willing. But are you available? This is the key. Are you available? See, me and my wife, we moved up to Wyoming and we were at a rodeo. And this guy come up and he got to visiting with my wife and he found out that I was a preacher. And he said, hey, we need a preacher at this little town called Claremont. You want to come up? Say, yeah, sure. Well, it's 90 miles one way. And in northeast Wyoming, sometimes it's cold. And sometimes there's a lot of ice and snow. So you got to drive even slower. So that hour and a half can become 2 hours. But here's the thing. Are you available? Are you really available? Yeah. As long as I don't have to go more than 30 miles out of my way. You're not available. Maybe willing, but you're not available. Can you skip work for a week and go over here to this missions camp and preach? Well, I got bills to pay. I got a mortgage. I got a car loan. Are you available or not? Can you come over and witness to this guy at the store? It's Monday Night Football and the Dallas Cowboys are playing. Are you available? See, a lot of times people wonder why they don't get used in the greater works. They didn't do the very first thing God told them to do. Remember Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." That is the first thing. After you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that is your job. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That little blue sign isn't there just because somebody kicked a hole in the door. It says, you are now entering the mission field. The minute you walk out the door, you're in the mission field. Do you realize you spend more time in the mission field than you do in here? If you don't, I'm going to tell you to probably just go get a life, because you're spending too much time in here. You need to be out there. Being in the presence of God is a good thing, but dude, really, you need to be out there. You know, I went to Bible school, and I was like everybody else. You know, we thought when we got out of Bible school, we was going to be sent to, you know, rodeos, you know, we'd be somewhere at a cowboy church or somewhere doing something. And we got out of Bible school and nothing happened. And people were asking me, said, "What are you going to do? What are you going to do?" And I said, "I don't know, man. I don't know. Nobody sent me somewhere." And some people got mad. They got really mad because they went to Bible school. Obviously, they were supposed to go be preaching at rodeos or at a cowboy church or doing something. And they weren't doing nothing. Like me. Except I was doing something. I was still going to the jails and going out on the streets and witnessing to people and talking to people and doing the first thing that Jesus said to do. The first thing. And I didn't have any answers. And I went home and I told God, I said, "I have no idea what you want me to do. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to work in the morning and I'm going to go to bed at night. And I'm going to go to work in the morning and I'm going to go to bed at night. If you decide you want me to do something, let me know and I'll go do it." So several months goes on. Quite a while goes on. Year goes on. He said, "Move to Wyoming." I said, "Okay." So we moved to Wyoming. And stumbled into the preaching job at Claremont. And I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. So maybe this is going to lead on to something bigger. And so we went on for 9 months. They found a full-time pastor. And I went home. And I said, "Well, you get ready to do something else, let me know. We'll go do it." So several months goes on. And we get a call. Come to Texas. Well, my wife really liked that idea. So we came down here and we looked at this job, and this place looked like a bomb went off. And I went home and I told God, I said, "I don't know about all this. This is not good. It's not the way I would design it in my own tiny mind." And finally one day I told God, I said, "You know, I finally got myself in a spot where I'm in the blessing and things are going good. We got a home, we got a nice job, we got a pickup, things are going good. And now you want me to move to Texas?" And he said, the blessing's on the inside of you. The kingdom of God is on the inside of you. You take the blessing with you wherever you go. Well, okay, let's roll. But here's the thing. I didn't lose the home mortgage. I didn't lose the pickup payment. And I took a cut in pay. Plus had to pay rent. None of that makes sense in your mind, does it? God has a way of making things work. Amen? He causes things to work in your favor if you'll be available. He even caused the home mortgage to go away. Caused the pickup payments to go away. Didn't lose the house, didn't lose the pickup. Didn't have to turn them back. And in fact, I would have said, you know, our renter, he got in trouble. He couldn't pay rent. So then I was really struggling. I was really trying to figure out how to get this stuff paid for. We finally got it paid for, and my banker called me. And then in my mind, I'm saying, I'm a horrible mortgager. I would not loan me a dime on another house again. So I got it paid for, and my banker called me, and he said, hey, you want another house? I said, what do you mean? And he said, there's another house up here. You want to buy another house? Said, oh, no. And he said, what do you mean? I said, no, I don't want to be a landlord living in Texas. I don't want to be a Wyoming landlord living in Texas. I'm not going through that ever again in my life. Said, that's not for me. I said, okay, I understand. I said, but you did everything you said you was going to do. You did it. I said, I was behind. Most of the time, he said, you told me when you was going to get the money, you'd get it, and it'd be there. I'm thinking, I would not loan me another dime. This guy wants to loan me more. I said, no, I don't want more. God causes things to work out in your favor if you'll be willing and obedient. Everybody's willing, but are they available? That's the obedience part. Will you pick up and go where God needs you to be when He needs you to be there? There's a lot of people that God has called to go to the mission field. But for various reasons, their career, their wife, their kids, their job, their mortgage, their car payments, their whatever, the list that has them attached to the world has more pull on them than the pull God has on their life. A lot of people, they miss out on God's very best. You know, I think guys in Mexico, they start off with a little house, and then they would build on another little room. You know, they used to do this in the old days. They'd build on to another room, they'd get that paid for, then they'd build another room, save some money, then they build another room, save some money, do whatever they had to do. But everything they had when they were done was paid for. A curious thing about America is they start teaching kids in school when they're little. So you need to get out of high school, you need to go to college, you need to get a degree. Borrow money until you get this degree. But you got to get it in 4 to 8 years. But so you got to borrow money to get that done. Rarely do you see anybody saying, you know, take a few courses, pay for those. Take a few courses, pay for those. Might take you a little longer, but it'll be paid for. I have friends that are paying on school loans that they've been paying on for 30 years. And then they tell you to go get a home mortgage. You know, go get, you know, why start small? Get a $300,000 house. Or better yet, keep up with the Joneses. Get a $500,000 one. Get two cars. Get some toys. What they do, they teach people to get in debt. To get into enslavement. You know, I told people this before. I said, what would be wrong with you getting a $5,000 trailer that you can pay for? I'm not moving my kids into a trailer house. Oh, you're too good for a trailer house. I see. What would be wrong with getting something like that and then saving your money so you can pay cash for something? I knew a guy up home, he didn't have any fancy jobs, he didn't have any fancy education, but he was a millionaire by the time he was 50. I asked somebody, said, how did he do that? He said, that guy paid cash for absolutely everything that he has. He never borrowed a dime for anything. You realize how much money we lose by borrowing money? The Bible tells us that the debtor is a servant to the lender. And you truly are. But that's what America has been teaching their children. Teaching them you need to get so buried into debt slavery that you have to just stay right there at the grind until you retire. We can't have you, it's okay if you go to church, but we can't have you going out on the mission field. We can't have you doing the first thing God told you to do. You see how tricky the devil is? He'll give you a counterfeit vision for your life just so he can put you in bonds. Be careful to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Don't let yourself be entangled to something that is not God's design for you. Amen. One old man told me, he said, don't ever buy anything that you can't pay for in 6 months. Yeah, that old man was a multimillionaire. And that was his recipe for the construction world. And he bought big cats and scrapers and lots of stuff. And he said, don't ever buy anything you can't pay for in 6 months. You know, in 6 months, we could be in a bigger depression than we are now. You didn't know we was in a depression, did you? Just trust in God. Keep your focus on Jesus. And let Him guide us through this year. It's going to be a wild, exciting year. Amen? Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that you do for us. Father, we thank you for Holy Spirit, who's always here to teach us and guide us. And our good shepherd who leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. He protects us. And when we make a mistake, he pulls us out of the mire. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this year. This is going to be a glorious year, an exciting time to be in the Lord. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. We have snacks and coffee and fellowship back here. Come on back.